Well, he was born on February 3rd, 1937, a citizen of Switzerland, the source of many controversial UFO photographs. He presents these photographs as evidence to support claims that he has been in contact with extraterrestrials. In a moment, the American representative for Billy Meyer, Michael Horn, joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Michael Horn, the authorized American media representative for the Billy Meyer contacts, which he has researched since 1979. Michael is a writer, producer, director of the award-winning film And Did They Listen, as well as the co-producer of a documentary, As the Time Fulfills, which presents an abundance of ironclad, prophetically accurate scientific evidence that authenticates the Billy Meyer case. And we're going to talk all about that. He is a writer, co-producer of the award-winning feature-length documentary, The Silent Revolution of Truth, and the producer and writer and narrator of the DVD, The Meyer Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival. Welcome back to Coast, Michael Horn. Michael, always a pleasure.
Thank you, George. It's been a while since we spoke, and I really do appreciate being able to be back on the show with you. Thank you.
And Billy Meyer has had another birthday since we last talked. He's now, what, 77 years old, right?
Exactly, 77.
How's he feeling? I know because he's been shot a couple times.
He's been shot at 22 times, or at least assassination attempts. One or two of them were with knives or hatchets. Most of the other ones were with either handguns or long guns, rifles. So the last I heard, and I was in touch with him, kind of indirectly, but with him, for two things over the past couple months, and he's doing fine. He's a remarkable human being who knows how to, you know, regenerate himself, which is something we all will want to be able to practice more and more.
Michael, why is the Billy Meyer case so darn controversial?
Well, you know, this is the question, and this is a matter of caring. Why I care about this case is because, this, among many reasons, despite the fact that it is controversial, it resolves itself through reason. It's controversial because the claims inherent in this case, if they're true, are simply far and away the most important and the most profound, you know, true story in human history, all of science and human history. We take for granted in this world of alternative news and information, paranormal UFOs, that, oh, well, it's a given. You know, this is a whole topic, and, you know, I understand it. In a sense, you understand it. It's full-time for you. I understand it. It's full-time for me, but very focused only on this case now. If this is true, it's a paradigm changer for us, and that is something that I just have to say, honestly, most people don't get that would be the import of this case. So, you know, there's debates and arguing about photographs and this and that, and I can tell you that tonight, if we'd like to, we can resolve this to the satisfaction of any reasonable person who has, you know, standards, criteria for determining the truth. And I'm hoping we can do that because historically right now, I think we all agree, we are in such a pivotal place in human history. And the reason for this case is, as you mentioned in connection with one of my projects, it's about our future survival. And it has been that for 72 years that Meyer's contacts have been going on.
It's a long, long time. And, you know, he has submitted photographs, metal samples, sound recordings at a point and at a time where we didn't have Photoshop, we didn't have sophisticated filming ability. You know, you see no wires in Billy Meyer's pictures. Truly, he's got to be either one of the greatest photographers ever. I mean, ever. Or this is all real, because there's no way he used computers in those days.
Actually, George, you hit on something, and I would expand it. He would have to be the master of something close to 30 different disciplines that cover a wide variety, of areas. I mean, they would include photography, special effects, digital effects, model making, electronics. I mean, it goes on and on when you delve into the content of the case. And truly, a guy starts taking pictures in rural India in 1964 of UFOs, up to eight of them. He's in the middle of nowhere. No special effects are possible, no digital effects. And this, again, is something that is hard for people to wrap their heads around. And I'm almost imploring people, please come to your own conclusion that it's either completely bogus or that it's real, and then what does it mean to you?
Absolutely. We'll get into a lot of Billy Meyer's prophecies, Michael, in the couple hours we've got you tonight. But I've got, because the anniversary, the 13th anniversary is Thursday of the tragedy of 9/11, Billy Meyer apparently predicted the 9/11 attacks back in 1987. Would you elaborate on that?
Yes, and this, of course, is one of those super controversial things, and it has inherent in it a couple of questions, certainly. I'm like, did he really predict it, and why didn't he warn people, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'm going to put it this way. According to the information in this case, and that's always my caveat, because people have to check this out for themselves. In 1987, Meyer had, I think it was 215th contact with a man, an extraterrestrial, who's called Quetzal in this body of work. And Quetzal presented to Meyer what's called the Henoch prophecies. And the Henoch prophecies, like many of the prophecies and predictions in the Meyer case, are not given in a chronological order. And there's reasons for that. I just want to state it in case anybody, you know, if you want to follow up on that. But let's get into the meat of the matter here. In this very lengthy body of information, prophecies and predictions, one of the things that is foretold in there, as you said, is the destruction of the World Trade Center. It is one of those things. It isn't, by a long shot, the only one. Now, a reasonable person is going to say, nonsense. Mm-hmm. How can somebody be predicting that in 1987? It's got to be a hoax. He must have backdated it and all the rest of it. The problem is that in the body of information, and this is, I've told this to people pertaining to a number of Meyer's prophetic, informations, you will be able to prove some of these most astounding things, that they were published when he claimed, when other things in these prophecies come to pass. But let's go specifically, since this stands out in here.
Sure does.
And it's in one paragraph in here, and it's going to be the last sentence. There's like three sentences or so. Far in the West, it will be different. And this is hard stuff. The United States of America will be a country of total destruction. The cause for this will be manifold, with her global conflicts, which are continuously instigated by her, and which will continue far into the future. America is creating enormous hatred against her worldwide in many countries. As a result, America will experience enormous catastrophes which will reach proportions barely imaginable to people of Earth. And here it comes. The destruction of the WTC, i.e., the World Trade Center, by terrorists, will only be the beginning.
That's amazing.
It's a prophecy. Yeah, it's amazing. So there's a couple of things to say here, and believe me, anything you want. Listen, this, everything is fair game in the Meyer case tonight. I spoke with Lisa earlier today, we get prepared for the show, and I said, look, how shall I say? She says, just tell George, everything's fair game. I said, fine with me. So and this is for the, look, out of respect for everybody that will hear this show, for everybody that cares at all about, our fate, our destiny, our self-created fate and destiny through the might of our own thoughts, we must look at these things. So there's two very important things I want to say first, and then I want to just let you at it. There are other things in this prophecy that we can look at, and we will recognize that they are going on right now. They weren't going on in 1987, 1997, 2007, 2010 or 11, but they started to go on about 2012, some even earlier. But this prophecy has been available online before any of those other things.
And that's so important, Michael, because there's a record there. I know when I have psychics on the show and they talk about things in the future, you know, they've gone on record. They've recorded it. We've got it written down. Our webmaster tracks it. So when they come back after the fact, if these things have happened, we've got a clear record of that. And this is something that you've been doing with Meyer for a long, long time. You basically have a record of the things he said about the future.
And that proved the case, even, I call it the higher standard of proof, George. It's above and beyond the photos. Even though, you know, we can talk about the new authentication of the photos, which is mind-boggling, when you can go and say, hey, I can open a book on the Meyer material. Now, not on every one, but enough of them. Here's the copyright. Here's what it says. And the so-called official discovery is 20, 30, 40, or 50 years later. Slam dunk. I've run this by a judge. We did. I've mentioned this one. I said, who wins if I can do it? He says, you do.
Now, are these prophecies of Meyer, or are they coming to Meyer from, of course, those ETs?
That is the question. That was my second point on this. And this, in this case, here's the answer. In some cases, these prophecies and or predictions are made by Meyer. In other cases, they actually were made long, long, long ago. And in this case, these Henoch prophecies, Henoch being the German word for Enoch, these prophecies that I just did an excerpt from were actually written by the prophet Enoch well over 10,000 years ago, at a time when there was no America per se. And I can give you that here because I can explain that what Quetzal tells Billy, he has put these things, and these of course were given to Billy first in German, into the contemporary terms for these times that Henoch was referring to. Now, only because so many of these things have occurred afterwards, we know that this was not Billy Meyer going back and, you know, post-dating and creating stuff and fudging. The prophets like Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, even Muhammad were prophets. They had the ability to see deep, deep, deep into the future, into our times. And if we even, you know, if we get into the prophecies, actually the predictions of Elijah and Jeremiah.
We will.
Okay, I mean, that stuff, Elijah and Jeremiah, it's hair-curling stuff. If I had any left, it'd be curling, because they speak about these times. And this, though, is so potent, because what Quetzal says to Billy, before I give you a clear account of the prophecies of Henoch, you know, these were Henoch's prophecies. I would like to point out that prophecies are always changeable and can be changed for the better if man makes positive changes in his thoughts, his feelings, and actions. And later on, we can talk about this is what they have been trying to teach us. And there's many reasons why it's not so easy. But they say that that leads to that which is better and positively progressive.
They haven't given up on us yet, have they? One would think they would give up, but they haven't.
Well, they don't want us to give up on us. And I think in some ways, look, let's be honest to a fault here. There are some things where these prophecies have passed the point of being changed and no return. You know, I mean, obviously the World Trade Center one, But this wasn't given broadly to the world at that time. Hence, again, we say, well, how do we know it's true? We'll show you tonight. We'll show the listeners tonight. And this is online. It's free. It's available. Go look at it. The things that have been happening in the last 2 months alone have proved these authentic.
That'll be very important. We're going to do a lot of that when we come back. But, Michael, for a lot of new people, brand new people to the program that continues to grow, that continues to add more and more radio stations. My gosh, that list grows. Give us a very quick overview of Billy Meier, when this happened to him, how it happened. I don't think he ran outside trying to say, come visit me. What happened to him?
He was a five-year-old boy known as Edward Albert Meier, living in Bülach, Switzerland. He and his father were outside one day. They saw a large silver disc overhead zooming around. He didn't know what it was. His father said it must be a secret weapon of Hitler. This is 1942. Meyer's 5 years old. Who knew? It was a short time later that Meier started to hear a voice speaking to him, an elderly man's voice speaking in his head. He didn't know if he was going crazy or not. And there were a couple, you know, occasions. And then one day he goes out again to play outside in this beautiful rural pastoral environment. And he wanders into the woods and goes deep enough in to where there was a clearing. He feels compelled to go farther than perhaps he would have otherwise. And there, in that clearing, standing on three struts is a pear-shaped craft with an elderly man dressed in what young Meier thinks looks like a deep-sea diver's suit to him. And this man beckoned him simply through his warmth and openness. Young Meier felt no fear. He came closer. The man started to speak to him, and it was the same voice that he'd heard in his head. He felt no fear whatsoever. This was a benevolent presence. Shortly, either at that particular meeting or the subsequent one, I'm unclear about it, I forgot, he went on board the craft, and that began the first of his tutoring, his being taught by this man for an 11-year period, where different devices were also employed that could bring to young Edward Albert Meier the thinking abilities. By the time he was seven, he could think as clearly as a logical 35-year-old man. He saw things pertaining to the past, to the future, to who his previous personalities on Earth had been. And all of this was being brought to him through this man's Svath. Indeed, not only did this take place, he was taken and shown different parts of our world. He was taken off in 1945 to see our moon, where he noticed certain things that still haven't been recorded today, and he's wondered why they haven't been mentioned. Huh. And we can go to that. But he also was able to meet some of the major players on the world stage, people who would also become some of the major players. He met Indira Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. He met, a whole host of people, eventually also Saddam Hussein, when he and Saddam Hussein were roughly around the same age.
Hold on, Michael. Much more to talk with you about the prophecies of Billy Meier on Coast to Coast AM. Michael Horn, our special guest on Coast to Coast AM. And I got to tell you, it's an incredible story. The cases of Billy Meier, truly remarkable, indeed. You know, Michael, let me ask you this, too. When the Billy Meier case was going on, how much controversy did he come under?
Well, first of all, George, it's still ongoing. Meier's contacts continue to this day, and there's information that he's been given even fairly recently. I'll just go back to your question, but I want people to know this didn't end in 1978. This continues in 2014 and on. Meier was accused early on, even when he started to bring his photos forward, of being a fraud and a hoaxer and all of this. And even the MUFON organization in 1980 dismissed the case as a hoax. That's something, you know, if you want, we can talk about. There's been some developments with that that are quite different. But he was broadly attacked. He had been encouraged by these people who are called the Pleiaren, formerly known as the Pleiadians. But they encouraged him to go forward and to make presentations and talk to groups and all, and he found in short order that he was not cut out for that. And he came back and he told him, he said, you know, I'm no good at this. I've got, you know, I can't do this. I'm no good with it. He's not that kind of a person. And you know yourself. And he's not running around giving interviews. He's done several, you know, he's done interviews for Wendell Stevens, Lee and Britt Elders. He's done a number of interviews for me that we have in our films. And then he's done some for Nippon TV and all. But most of all that is in the past. Only recently, in the past few years, has he done maybe one or two other things. So he does not consider himself like a public speaker, you know, and a, you know, somebody that's going to run around and scream about being a contactee. And the strange thing is, George, when you sit with Billy, he's a very direct, present, simple, normal human. And you contemplate that either an hour before you got there or an hour after you're going to leave, he may have these people sitting in his office with him, working together with him as they do on translations for things and to German and what have you. And he makes no fuss about stuff. He may have been on one of their ships with them, although these days it's very, very, very infrequent that he any longer goes on board their craft with them. They simply come into his office and spend time with him. And this just sounds like, you know, it's like it doesn't compute. Something is, why isn't he screaming about UFOs? You know, because for 72 years he's been on those craft with him since he was a child. And it's just, you know, we are all dazzled and fascinated by the eye candy. But that stuff was meant to get our attention. It wasn't meant to get us hung up on and to just spend all of our time carrying on about UFOs, you know, any more than we should carry on about airplanes.
All right, Michael, when we come back, let's get into the specifics of some of his prophecies so we can document what he said next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, of course, to Coast to Coast, Billy Meyer's Case with Michael Horn. Michael, let's get into some of the specifics. Now, you talked about events that are happening right now that Billy has documented years before. What are some of those?
Well, you know, one of the things in this Henoch prophecy, since this is the one that has the World Trade Center in it, and we can certainly go into any of the other ones. I mean, there are things in the prophecies that are mind-boggling in any number of them. But in this one, just so people know, new epidemics will spread among the people of Earth. However, as Henoch prophesied, quite a number of further epidemics will follow. Not only AIDS will occur worldwide in the 1990s, but also epidemics such as the mad cow disease, i.e. BSE, out of which different strains of Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome will develop, lasting well into the new millennium. Here we go for this one now. Also, an epidemic known as Ebola will cause many deaths, as well as other unknown epidemics and diseases, which will sporadically arise in epidemic proportions, et cetera, et cetera. So here we have, in the same prophecies as the World Trade Center, we have the mention specifically of AIDS and Ebola. Ebola being fairly new in terms of a major epidemic. We've known about the disease for a while, but we are now seeing that that is indeed becoming an epidemic. Now, the ones that I think we are going to find most people are going to go, well, okay, that's pretty, you know, it's pretty ironclad, at least if they're, you know, being reasonable. It says in here, yet Russia will not rest. We're coming into where I want to just, you know, zoom in for things that are going on right now, and will attack Scandinavia, and in doing so will embroil all of Europe. Okay, now that hasn't happened yet, but watch what's in this prophecy. It must still be stated that the Russian attack will occur during the summer. In fact, starting from Arkhangelsk, Denmark will not be dragged into the war. Now, I'm going to stop with that, and I'm going to come back to more specifics on Scandinavia. But here in 1987, Meyer mentions Arkhangelsk. Now, this is a city, I guess, northern Russia, Siberia. this caught the attention of a man I've known for over 50 years, a skeptic, highly religious guy, I should say former skeptic now, who, when we reunited after not seeing each other for a long time, Dr. Weinstein asked me what I was doing, and I told him, he said, well, you know, I don't know about this silly UFO thing, but let's talk about everything else. I did interview him for the film, As the Time Fulfills, because he was willing to speak about the probability of extraterrestrial life. He's a retired physician and physicist. And he said, well, of course, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, all the material is here, and speaking as a scientist, extraterrestrial life is a high probability. We didn't go to the Meyer case. But then 2 years ago, I sent him these prophecies, and I got a call from him saying, come over and bring your camera. So I recorded Dr. Weinstein, and he is in the new film we just won our second award on, And Did They Listen? And he gave a presentation to us, which we included in full in the new film. Basically, he said, this man Meyer is no crackpot. He should be listened to by our military. That this man in 1987 would mention the specific place in Russia that I, as a former military man, know about, that it is under cloud cover almost year-round, that it is the perfect staging area by which the Russians could indeed not only attack Scandinavia, but come across into Alaska and bisect right through the states and attack America. Now, in this prophecy, when we speak about Scandinavia being attacked, Meyer talks about Norway. He talks about, Finland and Sweden, and that Russia is going to attack them. Now, this is also connected to France, but Sweden, Norway, and Finland are in the news now, and because of Russia's moves up in the Arctic, and in this prophecy, when, and I'm going to get now to the part about Canada, and people can put this together as best they can when they listen to this, but it's all written out. You can go into the news on this. Here is what is so disturbing. America and Russia will have the most terrible weapons of mass destruction at their disposal, a fact which is already the case to a certain extent today, 1987, and will clash with violent force against each other at that time of conflict, whereby Canada will also be dragged into this conflict. The source of this conflict will substantiate the Russian attack on the American state of Alaska and against Canada. Now, up until a couple years ago, I couldn't figure out why Canada would figure in this. But as Meyer told us a couple years ago, prior to it occurring, Canada, Russia, the United States, and other countries are going to vie for the resources at the Arctic, and Canada is going to challenge Russia, as they are doing right now, George and listeners. And then Canada upped the ante, and they made a deal with the Georgian state in Eastern Europe, the Russia area.
But would Canada, so Canada get pulled into a war, Michael, over our mineral rights, let's say?
Well, look, Canada is already, you know, puffing up its chest and challenging militarily making provocative challenges to Russia. Now, they're as entitled as anybody else to try and lay claims, I guess, to this earth. But Russia is not going to forget this. They are now in a contentious state already with Canada. This didn't exist in 87, 97, 2007, 2010. And these prophecies were online by 2005. So I'm telling people right now, you're going to have to create some fantasy whereby you're going to try to tell yourself that magically Meyer, you know, somehow hoaxed this, but it's been in print before these events happened. This is what I'm saying to people. Look, pay attention to what Russia is doing. And look, maybe some of the things that Russia is doing in Eastern Europe, they feel justified. You know, that's not what we're arguing here. We're saying that this leads to this unless, as Quetzal told Meyer, people change their thoughts, their feelings, their actions. They embrace what's called the spiritual teaching, which is the core of this whole thing. It's not the UFOs. It's not even the prophecies. It's a teaching for humanity of how to think. It's not compulsory. Nobody's going to force us to do it. But if we look at the world today, the way we think, feel, and act hasn't led to the kind of results that are boding well for us. We are fulfilling these prophecies one after another. And this is why the Meyer case cannot get into the regular mainstream media. This is why I call it persona or gratin, but persona non gratis at UFO events nowadays, because I come out and I dare to say, this is it. This is what the UFO cover-up is about, folks. Yes, Roswell was real, but forget it. That's not what the cover-up's about. If a man is able to publish and warn us to say, human beings of Earth, will you please pay attention? If these events occur, then these other events will follow. And unless you are going to change the course here.
Well, and what's scary, Michael, is if he's right about one, he could be right about all of them.
Well, he could be, and this, again, this is what they say in here. These things, these are the prophetic parts, not the predictive. But if we don't wake up and go, oh, wait a minute, oh, hold on, we don't have to. Who cares even if he's getting this from Nostradamus? Who cares? He's accurate. And you can see this unfold before your very eyes, and there's more stuff in here. In here, I mean, why would he in 1987 write something like this? And it will be that the fanatics of Islam will rise up against the countries of Europe, and all will shake and quiver. Everything in the West will be destroyed. England will be conquered and thrown down to the lowest level of misery, and the fanatics and warriors of Islam will retain their power for a long time.
That's amazing.
Now, that's 1987, George. But to tell you the truth, in earlier information on the Meyer case, as far back as 1981, even as far back as 1953, they told him about this. And in 53, he was being told by the second mentor, Eskett, a woman who worked with him for 11 years, come the new millennium, the major religions, their fundamentalist elements, will drive against each other and create a tremendous conflagration if people do not change. And everybody that hears the show tonight, that hears your show tonight, has the power in their minds to learn how to craft one peaceful, productive thought after another. It sounds so idealistic, but hey, what are we spending our time thinking about? We worry about these things, but we haven't been taught how to change them. And they start with each individual just being fully responsible for themselves and for their thoughts. It's not the easiest thing on earth. We haven't been taught this. But we either learn now as soon as possible, or we are facing, and if you want to know the kicker here, 800 years until humanity comes out of what will come of all of this. And it doesn't have to fulfill. That's why the film before this one was called As the Time Fulfills. 55 specific examples, prophetically accurate scientific information in that film. And this one is called, And Did They Listen? The little preface, the people were warned. And did they listen? Let's not be falsely proud, falsely skeptical. Hey, if this doesn't work for you folks, that's fine. That's fine. But for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, minds with which to reason, let's do that. And
Mike,
there are good people.
Let me ask you this. There's some controversy, too, over the authentication of 64 photographs, and you call that the wedding cake ship. What's going on with that?
That is a really remarkable development. What happened was the wedding cake craft, people have said, this is simply a garbage can lid with Christmas tree ornaments spray painted either silver or gold. It's the most outrageous hoax and blah, 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 blah. So what happened earlier this year is, or it may have been actually last year by now, a professor, Rahal, R-H-A-L, Zahi, Z-A-H-I, who lives in South America, who's interested in the overall topic of UFOs and interested in the Meyer case. He's a professor at a university in Colombia down there, and he's an expert in computer technology, software, 3D imaging, you know, modeling, all the stuff that I know nothing about. So he took a few of the 64 wedding cake UFO photos, and he used the aforementioned technologies, including Photoshop, and he produced, after a very lengthy analysis, a 74-page report. He also did a video presentation on it so he could show how he used also Google Earth and everything for the measurements on Meyer's property and the location where the photos were allegedly taken. He did the most diligent, amazing thing. Now, this, again, people are screaming this is a hoax. So he shows through all of this work that this is a real large object, a craft that Meyer was within 15 to 20 feet of when he took a number of the photographs. The craft being, and actually he involved, and that this craft is, one was about 14 feet in diameter, the other approximately 23 feet. And we have links to this. I put up a special page for C2C listeners on my site. And it has, you know, a little promotion. Okay, get my two films at a bargain, you know, discount, the usual thing that we try and make a little more value for people so that they'll look into this for themselves. But I put all these links to the stuff that we're talking about, some other things. I kind of loaded it up so that people would have a launching pad for their own inquiry. And the WC UFO photos are there. Plus, there's a link to something else that happened here with Professor Zahi and this WC UFO photo. And what I'm going to tell you now and tell your listeners is this. Anybody, and by that I mean even a child, an 8-year-old child who's got a computer and someone loaded Photoshop on it, can now prove that the Meyer case is authentic. It will take longer for you to start up Photoshop than it will for you to do this. Here's what it is. Zahi took one of the most controversial of all of those photos. It's a nighttime shot where the craft, the people are saying it's a model, is glowing gold. Shall I continue with this or shall I tell it after the break?
Let's do it after the break because we got to skedaddle, but we'll be back.